Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polinencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
We're going to get through this. The reality is we are strong as a country. We're strong as a church. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice. What I've told a lot of people, this is a sacrifice that every generation has made. It might be World War II. It might be the Great Depression. It might be the Spanish flu. But every single generation makes sacrifices. This is our sacrifice.
Hey guys, Josh Ermler here from Idea Network. If this COVID-19 quarantine has taught us anything, it's that the church is not a building. I think about the book of Acts, chapter number 9, where the Bible says persecution came to the church and the church was dispersed. And through that, so many churches were planted around the world. In much the same way, this quarantine is proposing an obstacle for us, but it might be an obstacle that's actually an opportunity. I'd like to introduce you to Online Church Sunday. Online Church Sunday is an evangelistic initiative that wants to help your church preach the gospel to more people in a single day than you've ever been able to do before. Through this Online Church Sunday initiative, we're praying that you'll see more guests come to your church than you've ever seen, and you'll be able to collect more contact information so you can serve your community in the days ahead. I want to encourage you to check out www.onlinechurchsunday.com. We have resources, we have videos, we have publications that will help you as you navigate this season of doing online church. So check it out, www.onlinechurchsunday.com.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Thanks so much for joining us on today's episode. We're going to be discussing a relevant topic to today's culture, and that is how to keep calm during COVID-19. And Josh and I are joined with four other pastors today to discuss this topic. And let's start with you, Jeremy Mendoza. Where are you from? Who are you? What church?
Yes, I'm the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church down in Mission, Texas. It's the southernmost part of Texas. We're about, I don't know, maybe 2-3 miles from the border and the port of entry. Hmm.
Thanks. Akeem?
My name is Akeem Smith, and started Storyline Church here in the Bay Area, specifically Oakland, California. We just launched 6 months ago, September 15th, 2019.
Cool. Look forward to hearing about that. Mr. Rands.
Yeah, Jeremy Rands. I'm pastor on Clover Road Baptist Church outside of Toledo, Ohio.
Cool. And Josh, your other Josh, do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, this is Josh Ermler, and he's in Fresno. They're currently in lockdown. Josh, are you surviving out there, buddy?
Yes, we're doing well. Just still trying to figure out all this new technology in light of COVID-19 right now. So we're getting the hang of it, though.
Okay, Boomer. This is something. This is something that has been a struggle, right, for us as pastors. And because it's not just our congregations who don't know what's happening with COVID-19, we don't know what's happening with COVID-19. And it's not just our congregants who don't know how to do online church. We don't know how to do online church. And yeah. So we were about to release this episode of the podcast, Drew and I, and we had pre-recorded one on assimilation, and Drew contacted me and said, should we really release an episode called How to Assimilate All Your Visitors when nobody has visitors right now?
Might not be the most relevant topic for our audience right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
And so Drew and Kylie said, why don't we record a few episodes and deal with COVID-19? So we're joined by some of my dear friends, leaders in the Idea Network, and want to talk specifically through this concept, calm during COVID. How exactly are ministry leaders feeling right now? And we've got pastors all over the country right here. We've got pastors, not just listening, but on this episode, and different contexts, some rural, some city, as well as some church plants and some long established. And I'll open up, man. I'll begin by saying I am freaking out and optimistic, and it changes every 20 minutes. What do you think? What do you think, Akeem? Where are your thoughts on all this?
I mean, here in the Bay Area, everybody's freaking out. I went to the store a couple days ago, actually on Friday, when it was a couple days before we actually got the lockdown, and went to the store, and there was literally nothing. There's no toilet paper, no water on the shelves. I'm sure you guys have probably experienced that too in your part of the country. And so I went to another store, Target, because Target's clutch, it's fateful, right? I went there and the same thing. There's no water. I was getting ready to text some of my friends back in Vegas to FedEx me some Dasani because I couldn't find it out here. So it's just everybody's freaking out around here right now when it comes to just the water and food and stuff like that. The shelves are all empty. It's stocked by Tuesday, then empty by Thursday. It's just, yeah, people are freaking out. But they're washing their hands, so that's important.
Jeremy Renz, you're way over on the other side of the country. I mean, you're in the middle of Toledo, Ohio, thousands of miles from where Akeem is. How's the state of the people? What's the state of your staff, your heart itself?
Well, I don't think our staff is necessarily concerned because they have such a great pastor pastoring their church and giving well them played. Comfort.
Wow.
No, we, you know, our governor is taking the lead in a lot of bans. And so our state is on the front line of a lot of these things. And it's causing a lot of concern because it seems like every day he gets up, do a press conference, he adds something else. So we get it all set. All right, this is what we're doing. He gets up to speak at 2 o'clock next day. And it's, all right, forget that plan. I think we're on plan Z right now.
Yep.
You said World War Z? Is that what did you say?
Tell me. Yeah, I heard somebody on Facebook say, I'm really disappointed with the apocalypse because there are no zombies yet. That's not what they were saying. Fresno Church, you're right in the middle of California as well, and you guys are on lockdown. I mentioned that a moment ago. What would you say about this concept of how your people are doing? What percentage are I mean, I'm interested in this, right? Yeah. What percentage of your people are genuinely freaking out? What percentage of your people are not really concerned? What percentage are upset with you because everyone else is so concerned? I mean, those are the three categories that I'm pastoring right now.
Exactly. And that's really what's making this really kind of the difficult. It's the tension of all that because you have part of your congregation that thinks this whole thing is a huge liberal conspiracy and why aren't we still meeting in church? And then you have another group that's like, man, we don't even need to be talking to each other on the phone unless, you know, some virus, you know, sneaks through the phone line. It's just like these huge, huge differences, even within our local congregation. And so trying to lead, trying to pastor in that context has been uniquely challenging. And so that's the tension I'm personally feeling is how do you pastor people who see this thing so differently, you know, and what would be a help to one person is going to discourage somebody else. And what would help that person, you know, is kind of frustrating to another individual. And it's that tension that has probably made this so unique, you know, right now and something I'm still just trying to wade through.
Jeremy Mendoza, down where you're at, I loved visiting, Heather and I loved visiting your church down near the border in Southern Texas last year. It's an incredible, thriving work, your family working together, and it's amazing how many people are being saved and baptized and discipled. My question is for you the same. How are the people down there handling this? What does your percentages look like? Do you have some people are like, forget this, it's fine, relax. Do you have other people who are overly concerned? How are your people doing?
Yeah, I think we're very similar to Josh, at least of what he was sharing. I think it's kind of like that in our church. Although, you know, in our area, we're kind of like really behind on the eight ball from a lot of you, like from what y'all have been sharing. For instance, we just, you know, barely got a curfew put in today that I think goes into effect maybe tomorrow. So it's not been that drastic of a change other than like what Akeem was sharing when you go into the store and you know, there's nothing there. That's been a little bit of what our people have experienced, but I've not really, you know, talking with the members of our church, I've not had really anybody in more of a like panic tones as in, what are we going to do? And, you know, how are we going to get through this kind of thing? It's been more, I think what Pastor Ranz was talking about, where you're starting to adjust to something and then now it's changing. And I think we're just in the middle of that process. Like I said, probably a week behind all of you guys in the sense of we haven't had to make those adjustments yet. Our restaurant's just closed today. So it's just kind of where we're behind, I guess, on that aspect. So people, at least as of now, I would say, you know, the majority of our congregation hasn't really been affected in a major way in that way of having to adjust completely. I think in the next couple of days, that's going to probably change drastically. But as of now, it's not been too bad, thankfully, praise the Lord. It's been more of a, you know, kind of get used to what is the latest and what can we do, what can't we do? Okay, great, you know, and then doing that.
It's a lot easier dealing with the individuals who are overly concerned. We deal with people who are overly concerned all of the time. Overly concerned about they lost their job, their relationship is ending, their son is going to war. Pastors deal with this all the time. We know how to deal with those who are overly anxious. What about those who are not concerned at all, but wonder why you're closing the church? Have you guys, and their words, closing the church, and we can spin it all day long. No, we're not closing the church. We're going online. But in their world, you're closing down the church in the most important time. How are you, are you experiencing that? I know I am. What are you doing to pastor these people through that? Jeremy Ranz, what have you done there?
Yeah, we have on purpose not use the word cancel. So if somebody calls, any communication we're putting out, we're not canceling church. I know it's semantics, but I think words matter right now. And so choose words wisely. And we put our entire staff, use the same verbiage as we're speaking to people. We have gone online, but we have put videos every day between 3 and 4 o'clock. We're talking to our church, our youth pastor, our children's pastor, putting specific things online. So we're communicating with our church probably more now than we have before all of this. Then we begin several outreach endeavors. We are feeding children that are not able to go to school. We've learned a lot of children eat at school. That's the only meals they get. So we have raised about, I think, $6,000 in the last week to feed children. We took up this is all through online giving, people that have been laid off due to the restaurant industry. So we're helping. So we're really mobilizing our church to give, deliver food, be a part of all this. So I feel like this is causing us to communicate with our church so much better. I told our staff today, I feel like we're more connected to our church in this past week than we were before. And this has really challenged us. We throw money at everything. We had a program for everything. All that's gone now. And all we have is us and how are we going to minister to people? And our church is probably communicating better now than we did before.
Yeah, it was this context, that this kind of thought process, that really caused us to lean functionally and practically into the way we ended up doing our online services. Because we really felt in our context here in California, folks are now over a week into, you know, this quarantine. They've been isolated, especially our older folks now are feeling very lonely because they are not connected through social media. And so there is just this sense of aloneness. And so we wanted to create a service environment that really helped people understand that that's where we were at. And so there were a lot of different approaches that different people took when it came to, you know, live streaming or when it came to pre-recorded services. And it was this thought process that caused us to go to something that was more collaborative, more interactive as far as a service. And so we ended up using a technology that allowed us to have hundreds of people in a conference call where they could see me, I could see them, they could see each other, they could speak, everybody else in the church could watch them speaking, sharing a prayer request, sharing praises, reading scripture, prayer times together. And it was just a very collaborative, because I felt like the key word for us in this moment was solidarity. We needed to help everybody in our church understand and really feel that we're all in this together. And so that's how it kind of functionally fleshed out for us to address, you know, exactly what you're talking about here, you know. So it doesn't as much feel like we're closing church, because the essence of church, that ecclesia, the koinonia fellowship, is still all happening. It's just, rather than happening in an auditorium, it's now happening in a virtual room. And so I think the more we can think about that and look for ways to allow that to play in to an online platform, probably the better.
And you do that all through Zoom, right, Josh?
Yeah. Well, we Zoom coupled with some other apps. I know for the worship element, we use Smule. You know, of course, there was a lot of kind of, and I don't even know that I could explain it to you. You know, we had
that was really impressive how you guys did that worship experience. I know it's not Zoom platform, because you can't do that on Zoom. And so whatever Hunter did, excellent job. You guys did a phenomenal job of executing that. So.
And it's not necessarily that it was the best quality. And I think this is important for the audience to understand. In these moments, you have to ask yourself what your primary values are. You know, if your primary value is technological precision and having the highest quality presentation, then definitely there are better ways to go. But if the underlying value is, no, we got to figure out interactivity, connectiveness in this moment, then you might choose a platform that gives you less quality when it comes to the actual technology, whether it's video or audio, but it elevates your ability to stay, you know, connected from a human sense. And to me, for our congregation, that was the thing I was sensing our congregation was needing. And so we were willing to sacrifice other elements, whether, you know, it was, you know, how awesome it looked or how creative it was, to really be able to lean into that more deeply.
Yeah, that's awesome. For us, that's a good question, asking yourself what do you value? Because that would definitely speak into how you're going to execute the online service. For us, it was a little bit more of the opposite. We had to go with something that was more excellent to keep people engaged. Because if it wasn't distributed and packaged well, they would jump on. It's like, oh, I can't do this, and kind of leave that side or leave that platform. And so the pre-recorded service for us was a lot more conducive for our context here in Oakland.
Yeah.
Now that we're on this subject, we actually, Josh and I discussed this earlier, the whys of how you specifically did online services. And we at Southern Hills had to make a decision of how we were going to do it. And we decided to do a 1-hour program that included 20 minutes of sketch comedy and spoofing an online, a late night show, all of this. And I had to think through that, because I have two audiences, and so do all of us. We have the people of our church who we primarily minister to, and then we have all the onlookers, our pastor buddies, people out there that are looking on as well. And I knew instinctively what would work very well for our congregation and what we were supposed to do. I also knew that would play differently with my pastor friends and others out there. But Josh and I talked about this. He actually helped me with this. The primary audience of an online service, just as the primary audience of an in-person service, has to be the people you're ministering to. Mm-hmm. You have to be thinking, how can I connect with these people? How can I bring them to a place of calm? How can I bring them to a place of worship? And how can I bring them to a place where they can feast upon the word of God? It's Psalm 23, right? Beside the still waters, into the green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death. And so I do think evaluating what is our primary purposes in what we're putting out there. And so it's not going to look the same for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. You know, I think it's important too, as you're thinking through this, I know for myself, like I would be like, I want to present something that's going to be super amazing, because I know my pastor friends are going to be watching this and I want them to be impressed with what I put out there. And so regardless of where the Holy Spirit leads your local congregation, you are going to wrestle on one side or the other of this thing. And I really felt for our congregation, after prayer, we need to go with a very minimalistic approach in order to elevate interactivity. But I also knew that was wasn't going to impress, you know, my pastor friends who watched the service because the quality would be low and because it wouldn't really have a lot of flashy elements to it. And so I wrestled with it the same way you did, Tice, except kind of on the flip side. And I think every pastor is going to have those tensions. And I think the key is follow the Holy Spirit for your local context.
What about you out in Texas? Same thing?
Yeah, you know, for us, we're a English ministry out of a Spanish church, and so my dad's the senior pastor of the Spanish, and they're very traditional. So we wanted to try to keep it with that feel, and so we did the live streaming from church. In fact, we were going to do it pre-recorded, and our audio technician was saying, well, most people are going to be looking for maybe a stream or something live. You know, why don't you do it let's just do it on Sunday. Let's just do it live. It's going to be obviously the same kind of look as every other video from the past when we were in church, but it might give them a little bit of comfort to feel like, okay, things are still pretty normal. Maybe there's not everybody there, but in a video, you don't see everybody anyway. So maybe it'll give them a little bit more of a feeling of things are moving forward as normal. So that's what we did, and it seemed to do pretty well with our people. I've not talked to anyone that was not from our church that might have seen it or clicked on it. I have no idea, but for our people, definitely it was really what they needed and what was better for them during this weekend for sure.
And for the audience out there, I will say, in case they're not aware, there are platforms you can use, such as like softwares like OBS, where you can take a pre-recorded video and then kind of push it out, you know, like it, so it looks like it's live on Facebook. So that is a way to kind of navigate that tension, if that's something that might be helpful to some folks out there.
Can you repeat that resource one more time?
Yeah, that would be OBS. That would allow you to do some of that. I usually am with some of my tech guys who can give all the, you know, specifics of it, but there are different things that allow you to, you know, have the polish of a pre-recorded, but then give you, you know, some of the elements that like, oh, this is right now. So there's ways to navigate even that tension.
So I think one of the themes that I'm picking up is being as true to who you are as a church individually, walking with God and what you want to present, because something drastically different from who you are may send the wrong signal to the flock.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, things are a little out of control. Pastor doesn't know what he's doing. I experienced this on March the 15th, which was, what was this last Sunday? I have no idea.
22nd.
22nd.
On March
what
the 15th.
What day is it today? It's like you don't even.
I know.
You're not kidding, man. It's insane.
It's day 7.
Day 7.
That was literally yesterday.
I know.
It's like
isn't
crazy.
Isn't it crazy? We've been in quarantine now for like 89 days. It's so hard to even comprehend, you know? It's just, this week's been the longest year of my entire life.
So true. I got up the very first Sunday, the last Sunday we did service in the first service, and I was supposed to read some kind of a statement of what our plans were going to be. And I stumbled through it. I was nervous. I was reading it. I had so many people come up after the service and be like, Pastor, I want to hug you right now because I can tell this is really affecting you. It was bad. And the reason it was so bad is because that's not who I normally am. Mm-hmm. And I think I expressed to our flock, those who were not concerned, oh, you need to be concerned. Pastor's freaking out. And I was really nervous. I was reading it. I was doing an official statement. And the next two services, I forget which staff member told me, but somebody said, you got to just put the notes down and just talk like you normally do. And the next two services went great. I was able to express all the information. I may have missed a few of the points, but for our church, because it was so drastically different and my tone and my spirit was so drastically different, I think it spooked the sheep a little bit. And I think that's something. Anybody want to speak to that concept?
I will. If my wife said to me, can I watch Josh Tice's service instead of ours? And I was glad that you were 3 hours behind us. And it's hard for me to use comedy. It's hard for me to be funny. It's just not my nature. If something's funny, it's really dry. So to plan something like that, I just would have lost everybody. They would have listened to me for the first 5 minutes and found somebody else. So authenticity, I think, what everyone's saying. So just be yourself and be okay with it. I ended up watching because she thought it was great. So I went on and watched Southern Hills last night, and it was funny. And the whole time I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, I'm glad he can do that. I'm glad he can minister to his church that way. And I'm glad I don't have to try to be that and still be able to minister to our church. So I think you're going to look odd. You're going to lose people. We're living in a time right now where if you don't connect to your church, someone down the street can. And I think if you try to be someone other than yourself right now, you could lose your people during this time. Not that they're going to leave your church, but you're going to lose 2-3 weeks to be able to minister to them and pastor them, because it's so easy right now. They just turn on Facebook and there's 100 different feeds in your community they can watch. And if they're going to your church because they love you, they're being fed, and you're their pastor. And make sure you keep that as you're studying, as you're preparing, as you're presenting that. Don't try to be someone else. Yeah. You don't need to be. God put you there. Be you right now and be comfortable being you.
Yeah, I think that's the cool part about, like, think about the 6 people that are grouped on this chat right now. Like, God has uniquely gifted you to minister to the people that are in front of you in the audience that you have. And I think, to your point, you'll lose people very quickly if you don't connect with them. You'll lose them quicker if you try to be something you're not. And I think that as long as you live into what God has uniquely gifted you, like, Josh can probably pull off a monologue, right? But maybe, you know, Jeremy can't, and that's fine. But if it was the other way around, it wouldn't, you know, connect.
Yeah, I think it's really important to distinguish between what is an online service and what is online church. And I think that's maybe one of the things that we're going to have to clarify over the next few weeks, both with our local congregations and then just holistically, because of what Jeremy just said a moment ago. It's so easy for somebody to go and click on somebody else's online service. And so if we're not careful, we'll try to lean into, you know, just providing a service, which a service is a part of what it means to be a church. But a church is so much more than just a service. So I think we're getting used to creating an online church service. But I think the area where we need to grow in this upcoming week and the upcoming 2 weeks is, okay, how do we go from just doing online church services to doing online church, where the ecclesia, this local assembly, is involved in koinonia. These are Greek words that were used in the book of Acts, this koinonia, this Christ-centered fellowship. And how do we do that? What used to be done primarily in a physical location, how do we do those and exemplify those things online? And so I just think that's a conversation worth having. I think these are things worth thinking about. And then how that expresses itself within different local congregations might be different. But I think it is something that's important for us to wrestle with.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, going back to the very first question, I'm interested in like Pastor Rands or Pastor Akeem. I know Josh kind of shared how he felt personally about what's going on. How did you guys feel about all of this? I mean, are you guys also not panicking? I don't want to say panicking, but you know, is it something like, oh, snaps, or is it kind of like, what is your personality, or at least how you're dealing with this?
Yeah. So I'll begin. I have been all over the place over the last few weeks, day to day. And as people are saying, hour to hour, I'm the type of person who really tries to present himself in the best possible light. But the reality is I also wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm really concerned for my staff who are getting different directives from the same person, me, every couple hours. I feel like your governor, Jeremy, where it's like, there's plan Z. And I haven't handled it well. I mean, to be honest, I haven't handled it well, always in front of my team, in front of my family. And so far, pretty well, I've handled it well in front of our church because they don't see me as much and I can put on a good social media presence. But I'll tell you honestly where my heart is. Where my heart is I'm concerned for our country. I'm concerned as an American What does this mean 10 years from now? That plays a lot in my mind, which is not the point of this podcast. We don't have time to get into that. I'm concerned for what this means to the local church. I'm very excited about the church moving online. I'm very terrified by what that might mean to our ecclesiology long-term without us realizing the implications. And I think I've been thinking too much and not praying enough. And I've been genuinely very, very concerned. So the things that have helped me throughout this, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. The things that have helped me throughout this is making sure I keep my time in the Word and my time in prayer. Talking to Heather, who is much more even keeled than I am. She's calm. I'm high strung. And talking to some friends, pastor friends, who tend to be more steady Eddie than I tend to be. But in reality, that really has been keeping calm during chaos. That's been helpful to me. What about you, Jeremy Renz?
Yeah, I'm probably more like that fatherly guy, making sure everybody's taken care of. You know, I'm calling people, trying to put that good front on, like, you know, what do you need, and willing to give them anything we have. Calling a lot of church planters, guys in our area that are planting churches, and just wanting to, I'm feeling for them. We're going to get through this. The reality is we are strong as a country. We're strong as a church. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice. What I've told a lot of people, this is a sacrifice that every generation has made. It might be World War II, it might be the Great Depression, it might be the Spanish flu, but every single generation makes sacrifices. This is our sacrifice, and we've got to keep that in perspective. So, you know, what's the long-term effects of World War II, or what's the long-term effects of every 18-year-old going off to the Vietnam War? We are just panicking because this is our first, and we're in places where we have to lead people. So I think we have to put that in perspective. I'm caring for my family. I've got 5 kids, and I don't want them to be overly panicked. And I'm wanting to make sure there's food in the house. I want to make sure that their essentials that we need are there. That's probably as panicked as I've gotten. What's settling me is our staff. We have a staff meeting every day, and I'm listening to them. I'm loving their ideas, and I'm watching them, and I'm loving them calming me down. And the other big concern I have is we have 50 some employees here, and I was up till about 3:30 this past morning, and just praying, Lord, I don't want to lay anybody off. That's a big burden I'm carrying right now. I don't want to lay teachers off and employees off. I don't want to lay off a part-time janitor right now. I'm thinking, whose house can we go clean just to keep them employed? And it's faith. And we took no offering today or yesterday, right? No in the plate offering. And we our church came through, and it's all online, and God supplied through a different way of giving. And I think that we need to be careful not to make our church people feel like they're not spiritual and we're doubting their walk with the Lord. Like, I hope that our church people are going to give. Like, I'm pastoring strong Christians, and they are who they've been led to be over all these years. And this is their moment as well in this generation. And I'm so glad that they're stepping up to it. And so talking with other leaders, same here with me and my staff here, has been awesome. Just enjoying them.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, is a lot of people here in the Bay are kind of panicking in some ways. Someone mentioned this earlier today. I think it was Josh or Jeremy that mentioned that, like, if we had church, people would show up. That's the opposite for us. If we had church, no one would show up just because they're taking it, the extra precautions that are necessary that they believe that they need to take for their families. And so, yeah, for us, people are kind of panicking and freaking out, and it's kind of a big deal. Like just the other day, there's an elderly lady that comes to our church. She's been coming since we launched, and I took her some toilet paper. I got this idea from Josh, actually, but I took her some toilet paper, sent her text to all the entire church. That's how we communicate through this platform. And I sent text to the entire church and said, hey, anything I could do for you, you just let me know. I'll be there. And a couple people responded, and one was an elderly woman, and showed up at her apartment, lives actually across the street from me. And I was able to drop off some toilet paper and water for her. And she said that today was, she ran out of water today, and she was on her last roll of toilet paper. And so we got to talk for a little bit, and she was expressing the anxiety that she's feeling and the fear that she's feeling right now. And so, yeah, that's just a, that's just a small community that are feeling that. But I think for the most part, most of our church, like I've talked to guys that are in their 20s that I work at Google, just texts one of them today, and he's freaking out. So I think in either spectrum of our church, I think everybody's kind of freaking out. But some things that are kind of helped me to stay calm in the process in the moment is realizing that, like what you said, Pastor Jeremy, this is a season that every generation has gone through, and we have not been through it yet. I think I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they mentioned that, I'm not sure if some of us would go as this extreme, but they mentioned on the podcast that COVID-19 is similar to 9/11 in the regards that, like, the young people are going to remember this, like how we remember 9/11. And so it's just a pandemic right now. And so one of the things that's really helped me to keep me calm is really understanding that this is not seem like an obstacle, but it's an opportunity. And so oftentimes what's our obstacles, it's God's opportunity for him to do something great. And I think, and I really do believe this, that there is a harvest coming. I believe that there's a harvest of people that's going to run to Jesus. Because we look at church history, we see the world gets dark, the church rises, people run to Jesus, you know, and the Holy Spirit falls. And so I think this is just one of those moments that we're going to see it as an obstacle. But if we change our perspective just a little bit and see that this obstacle will be an opportunity for God to do something great. And so I'm leaning into that, believing that, hoping that, that in this journey that I believe, and that's right now, some of our team, we're super early church plant, 6 months in, talking about losing people. I'm terrified. some of my team members, we've gotten together in Zoom and discussed, like, hey, how can we prepare for the worst, but also for the best? And so to be wise, but also to prepare for what we believe that is going to be a harvest. So I believe that once this ban has been lifted and people can go out into the community and get back to normal life, I think that people are going to run to Jesus. And so we sat down as a team and say, hey, what can we do in this season to prepare for that harvest? Because I really do believe that whenever the ban is lifted, that God's going to do something great. And so, yeah, so that's some of the things that have kept me calm. And then something really practical is just my schedule. I have to change my whole schedule for, I call it my COVID-19 schedule. And so right now that's what I'm doing. I've been kind of rescheduling everything as far as like how I communicate with my team and with our church and how I engage and all that stuff. What are you going to say, Josh?
No, I'm in agreement. The schedule thing is so true for me. Tuesday morning, I don't know what day, there was a day where I said, I'm going to sit down and rewrite my COVID schedule. And when I did that, man, there just became, I wish I could call it a Holy Spirit moment. I'm not sure if the Lord works through schedules, but for my personality type, calmness came. I know what I'm supposed to do every hour. And practically, optimism, like you said, is huge. Having an optimistic view that genuinely believes, and you say, oh, optimism is just mind games. No, it's a belief in the sovereignty of God. It's a belief of looking throughout history and seeing that God has turned great tragedy into great triumph and into revival. I was talking to a friend of mine. He won't mind me quoting him today. This morning early, there's a pastor in Las Vegas named Vance Pittman. Great guy. He's a friend of yours, Akeem. And Vance said, pastors are concerned they're losing Easter. He said, they're not going to lose Easter. He said, the moment, like you said, the ban comes down, he says, we will see an influx in the first Sunday, and then the next few Sundays like never before. And he says, I absolutely am planning and anticipating that. Judd Wilhite, who was on the call as well, he's a pastor of a large church in Las Vegas. He said, we're preparing for the exact same thing. People are going to rush back to church. And so we should be not only preparing for that, but that should help the pastor say, okay, it's fine. Things are okay. And we're going to be able to move forward. Minister to people, yes, in our community in a unique way like we've never done before, but also prepare for a harvest because God is going to turn all things into good. Jeremy, down in Texas right now, you're not only leading the English side of your church, you've got your dad leading the Spanish side. You've got a camping ministry that your brothers work in. You've got an extensive school and all these other things that you're connected to with your other brother. How are you seeing not just the people reacting, but how are you seeing leadership staying calm in the midst of this COVID chaos?
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty exciting because one of y'all mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I think you did, Joshua, about God using tragedy to bring triumph. And I think it really made us, I felt like we were getting a little bit real complacent as ministries, not just our church, but as ministries down here in our area. And this has really pushed us to say, look, there's no more excuse. Like there's lots of people in need, start doing something, you know? And so it's in every area, like even in the schools, I've got like my brother's got students, you know, seeing whatever's online and saying, hey, you know, we one of them noticed that we were doing last week. One of my brothers, it's a director at camp, Joshua Noam Jason, him and Linda decided, why don't we ask for supplies from our church and then we'll go drop them off to the elderly in our church. And then somebody else that goes to the school saw that and said, hey, I work at Lowe's. Can we be a part of that? I'd like to buy supplies from Lowe's and take them to you guys so y'all can take them to their people in the community. So I felt like it's kind of gotten us out of the complacency that we were kind of getting into, which has been great. And then just the way, I don't know, the way at least that's worked for me to keep calm is honestly not read so much because being a good conservative, I like reading, you know, Drudge Report and Fox News and all kinds of sources that I feel are kind of reliable.
Yeah, stay off Twitter. And if you go, wash your hands after.
it's so true though, because you go there and, you know, the first, you know, 10 headlines you're going to read are all going to be so negative of how, you know, it's spreading more. And then you hear about, you know, first it's a, nobody dies under 60 and then, oh, there's a 40-year-old, he died. I'm almost 40, you know, and you got all these things. So it, to me, it works me up. And then you get the other side of, you know, is this big one conspiracy thing, like, and what you were mentioning earlier, Josh, of the whole, where is this going to leave us, which is, that's where I'm at more than anything of, you know, 9/11 was a tragedy, but where it left us in its aftermath, when it comes to other areas of liberties, you kind of feel like, oh, I don't want that to happen. And it kind of feels like that might happen again, you know. But either way, to me, it's like I said, what's helped is just kind of unplugging from that and then looking at these needs, because I think they correlate in that sense, where I'm not reading about all the bad that's happening and I'm getting motivated by all the good that's happening. And if I just kind of turn off the channel on that bad and kind of focus on the good, it also is making my creative juices start to flow a little bit more, because Akeem was saying it a moment ago about your routine and how you got to change your routine. And now it's making you think about, okay, what am I going to get done this day? Because, you know, going to the gym is out of the question. I can't go work out for an hour. So what am I going to do that hour? And you just got to start figuring out what else you can do. And it has made for the creative juices to go. And so that's kind of how I've dealt with that. And also binging on Netflix about The Office. I'm like in season 3 now, and it's just comedy related.
Thanks for being honest with us while you're actually spending your time. We appreciate
those 3
that.
Hours were not productive, but they did calm me down.
Michael Scott is so therapeutic, isn't he? Because as a leader, you're like, okay, I'm not that much of an idiot. At least I'm not Michael Scott.
don't model Dwight in the times of chaos. That's the rule of thumb. I think that's the best practice.
Josh Ermler. So in this last minute, what have you thought about what everyone's saying in regards to keeping themselves calm, keeping others calm? How have you found this to be true in your life?
Yeah, I've actually been encouraged at Acts chapter number 9. You hear about these horrible events hitting the church, you know, of course, in that context, it was persecution. And because of that, the church was dispersed, you know, and ended up being one of the greatest tools for global evangelism and church planting that had, you know, hit the church up to that point. And I think for me, that's where my mindset goes. My personality isn't one to get real. You know, I don't get real emotional about this. I don't feel like my thoughts have been all over the place. I'm more like just put my nose to the grindstone and let's do what we got to get done, you know, kind of through this. And so my mind has been very much in a place of, you know, just like in the early church, these horrible things happened and it ended up being one of the greatest things that happened to the church. I'm really living in the context right now that yes, this is really difficult. And whether the reality is difficult or whether the optics and how it's being politicized is really difficult, whatever, wherever it is on that spectrum, the reality is I really believe that this difficult situation where we're not able to gather together geographically and things, and we're being dispersed, you know, to some degree, might actually be one of the best things that happens for the church. And I'm praying that we look back on this moment as ministry leaders, as pastors, you know, 5-10 years from now. And just like we look back at Acts chapter number 9 and think, man, that was awesome. Yes, it was difficult in the moment, but great things came out of it. I'm praying that that will be the reality of this moment, that spiritual leaders will rise up, that men of God will lean into faith away from fear and really say, where is what looks like, as Akeem was saying, an obstacle, and where's the opportunity in this to advance the kingdom of God? And so I really, as I'm moving through this, trying to balance what God wants to do, you know, in our personal lives and the lives of the folks in our church, but really saying, hey, I think God's got a divine purpose for this. And what the enemy might be trying to use for evil, I think God wants to work for good. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm actually really excited. I'm excited about what God's going to do through this season of quarantine. And as you guys have been saying, what's going to happen as we move out of it, I really am anticipating and expecting some really big, exciting things for our churches locally and globally. And I want to be prepared for it.
Amen.
That's awesome. Well, thank you everybody for taking the time today to spend talking about how you guys are keeping calm during COVID, as well as keeping your congregations calm as well. So we appreciate your time and thanks for joining us. Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.